You're listening to the Vocal Fry Podcast, your weekly dash of voice science, pedagogy, and pop culture. Coming to you from the third formant, everyone's favorite buzzsaw.
Check. Yeah, that's better. Okay.
Hello.
Vocal fam.
Good morning.
All right. I want to talk about two things. I hope we'll get to both.
Well, and if we don't, it's not like we're not here, you know, semi-regularly.
Yeah. So, Sarah, have you read the Ian Bostridge article?
No.
Okay. There's been a bit of controversy this week. Classical music world, let's say. Slipdisc, who loves to poorly editorialize and sensationalize their articles.
Oh, exciting.
Reported on this. Ian Bostridge, British tenor, was giving a recital.
Oh, I did see about this. I didn't read it, but I did see about the cell phone
yes.
thing. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I would like to talk about this issue. Because I have some thoughts, and I'd like to know your thoughts.
Yeah.
And I just was asking someone else's thoughts about this, but to give you
I see the article now. Yeah.
To give you the background, Vocal Fam, Ian Bostridge was giving a recital, basically stopped mid song cycle, was in the middle of L'Illumination of Britain, very hard song cycle. My wife has sung it.
Mm-hmm.
She sang the Debussy songs, the ones that are like Debussy. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm going to lose my train of thought.
Yeah.
And he stopped and asked people to put their phones down. Now, the reason he did this was not that, like, he saw someone texting on their phone dimly lit.
Mm-hmm.
It was that people actually had their phones up.
They're just recording
it. Video recording with the LED flash on.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, from that perspective, from the pure perspective of should people be doing that, I think the answer to that is I don't know too many people who would think that.
Who would be like, oh, that's fine.
Right.
Because it, yeah.
No. I think that just from a common courtesy perspective.
I was
going to
say, from an audience member perspective, that gets on my last nerve. I get annoyed by people whose Apple Watches light up during performances. It's distracting.
Okay, so I think you and I are going to be on opposite sides of this issue.
Okay.
Which is why I wanted to get your perspective on it.
I think I have a stronger opinion about this than a lot of people.
Oh, no. I think people have very strong opinions about this, actually.
Okay. I'm ready.
Most of that, I think, are going to align with you.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
So do I think that someone should have their phone up in the air or
with
something
their
at
camera
a classical performance with their flashlight on? No.
Sure.
I think, and quite frankly, I think there should be a policy posted.
Yeah.
If the performance is not supposed to be recorded, you should have a policy up about that.
Yeah, no flash, no, yeah.
So, okay, we're on the same side about that.
I don't know
too many people who are, now, is that common at a Taylor Swift concert?
And I think I'm going to say I have exceptions around my opinions because so much of it is situational.
Would literally be illegal and you would be removed from the building at a Broadway musical.
Absolutely.
And it's posted as such.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, fine.
I've seen them stop people from taking photos before the show in front of the set.
Oh, I actually think that's perfectly
I think it's fine. I'm just saying I've seen ushers stop people from doing it.
Because, like, I know that, like, for example, on Broadway, it's perfectly legal to film curtain call.
Ah. That's
if I'm correct.
Yeah, I what show was I seeing that they stopped? I think it was Hamilton when it came to Memphis, and I saw it. I'm pretty sure that was it. It may not have been that one, but people were getting pictures of themselves in front of the set pre-show.
Sure.
And ushers were stopping them from doing that.
Well, again, but I imagine there are policies posted about
that. I think it was posted.
And probably even an announcement.
I don't remember. It's been a while, but I just specifically remember multiple people getting stopped.
Sure. Great. Now, I'd like to talk about many varied different perspectives on this.
Sure. Let's do
it. Okay. So from one perspective, as a performer, would I find the lights distracting? Yes.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Particularly in a more intimate setting.
At the same time, as a performer, are we not training our performers to be able to focus beyond distractions? Like, isn't that part of the professionalism that we are teaching our performers? I'm not defending the people with their flashlights in this. I'm suggesting I have been distracted by things in an all, you know, in a performance. It's my view of it is that it is my job that the show has to go on and I have to keep going.
Sure. I think we teach students to keep going, but does that mean it doesn't annoy us and distract us?
Of course it does.
Of course. Of course.
The very famous John Vickers bootleg recording of the woman coughing in the front row in the middle of, I think it's Valkyra.
Oh, God.
And Vickers literally, shut up with your damn coughing! You know.
Well, that's because, you know, we make jokes before performances, like, or I've made jokes during piano dress, or like kind of when we're running, but we're not really a true dress rehearsal. So, like, oh, yeah, crackle, crackle. This is someone unwrapping their breath mint,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like,
sure. And is it annoying? Of course.
Yeah.
And should that happen? No. I mean, ideally.
But in a student setting, like in a school setting, you're right. We're not going to stop the show and be like, hey, you, stop it.
Now, that is different than the kind of like annoying things of like some of these protesters that we've seen.
Yeah.
That's different because there also might be a level of security issue there. This is not what I'm talking about.
No, we're not. That's a whole different episode.
That's a whole different thing. And the performance stopping mid-performance for that stuff and then being escorted out of the building.
Very much get that.
Yeah, fine. Okay. Now, let's talk about a different perspective of this.
Okay.
And that's the audience and phone usage at all.
At all. Okay.
So, audience, you just brought up, like, the idea of, like, even Apple Watches.
Yeah, when they, like, light up. They're so, well, okay. Again, this is my, like, there's some caveats here. When people's Apple Watches, and they don't have the brightness or anything dimmed, when it is just full, because, like, I don't think you realize how bright an Apple Watch can be until you are sitting
sure.
in a dark performance hall.
For sure.
And somebody's phone, or not phone, well, phone too, I guess, but watch just lights up and it's so bright. Or they're checking I've seen people checking their text messages and their emails on their Apple Watch, which probably gets into some of the things you were going to comment on. And like, if your watch is at full brightness, you may as well be on your phone and it's really distracting.
Yep. Okay. So you're suggesting that your distraction there is as a co-audience member.
As a co-audience member. I have no idea if I would actually notice that from the stage, to be completely honest.
Okay, sure. Let's now consider, okay. I'd also like to say that I absolutely think that your phone should be on silent.
Yes, 100%.
I think we're in agreement on that.
Yes.
Right? Nobody wants like, you should not be on a phone call. You should not be on a FaceTime call.
Look,
your phone should be on silent. I'm not arguing against any of those.
The only time I've ever confronted just another person as an audience member was I was in high school in New York seeing a Broadway show, which so obviously very exciting and out of the norm for me. And it was when I know whatever it was Phantom of the Opera, which for me was very exciting,
people
and
love
I
that
loved
show.
That show. And the
so
woman
millions of others.
Sitting in front of me kept taking multiple phone calls.
Oh, that's annoying. Yes.
And
because
so,
then they're speaking out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
That is, again, that is a rudeness level.
It was not even one, multiple. So finally, I leaned forward and I did. I tapped her on the shoulder and I was like, hey, you like, stop. I don't remember what I said. This was years ago. But I asked her to stop and she's like, how do you know it's not an emergency? Then I'm like, then maybe you need to leave. I was so angry. I was ready to throw down with this person. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It gets on my nerves.
And I would also agree with that. There's a definite just courtesy issue there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's turn to I am just a person.
Mm-hmm.
My screen at absolute dimness.
Okay.
I am in the venue.
Okay.
But I am texting or scrolling social media or other phone usage.
Okay.
What are your thoughts about this individual?
I think it depends on how obtrusive it is. Like, to be completely honest, like, if you, like you're saying, your phone is
like,
on.
Let's say they're in a back row.
If your phone is totally dim, you've kind of got it down in your lap. You know what I mean? Like, you are trying not to bother me. Then I personally probably would not get super bothered by that. I mean, I would, to be honest, I'd probably roll my eyes at you in my head internally. I'm not actually going to do that in real life. But I don't think I would be just seething necessarily. Personally, because like I've had to check, especially now that I have a kid, like I've had to kind of check my phone. But to be completely honest, I do it totally dim and I do it inside my purse so that there is no way any light is bothering somebody around me. And I feel terrible about it. Like, do I think like, hey, maybe if you go somewhere and you've paid money to see a show, like maybe you should actually enjoy the show or leave if you don't enjoy it? Maybe be in the moment. But I get, you know, maybe there could be a variety of reasons. If you are trying to minimize your issues, like I can live with that. It's the people who don't attempt to, like, I've probably paid money to be here. I would like to enjoy this show. I've made an effort to be here. And you're going to sit there on your phone with your brightness up where, like,
No. The scenario we're talking about is their brightness down.
I already addressed that. I already said, like, if you're trying to be chill and, like, not whatever, like, okay. My personal opinions about the choices you're making their side, like, if you're not bothering me, if it doesn't affect the others around you and their audience experience, okay, live your life. Make choices that maybe I wouldn't make, but that's you. It's when it's beyond that that I'm like, I get a little heated.
Yeah. You know, I think there was a point in my life where I would have agreed with you, and I'm just not there anymore.
That's cool.
I think my and I think I'm in the big minority.
Okay.
Particularly amongst other performers and people who are, you know, in the arts.
Okay.
As concert attendees as well. So let me counterpoint a couple of things. And I understand that this is different because you don't have the opportunity to distract anyone. But let's consider you're on your phone scrolling and your relationship to the performer, not your fellow audience members.
Yeah. Yeah, because I definitely was speaking as a fellow audience member because that for me has been more prevalent.
Right. Counterpoint. When you are watching television or a movie, are you scrolling on your phone, playing games on your phone?
Yes,
texting?
But there's not really a comparison.
I disagree. Because the performer of that show poured their guts, sweat, and tears into that performance.
Okay.
And I recently heard a podcast with Jason Alexander. He's got a new show, and I can't remember the name of it. Really, No Really. That's what it's called. Where he actually, as a performer,
mm-hmm.
is offended when people watch material that he's done with subtitles on.
Oh.
Because he even feels as a performer
that the subtitles
are taking away from the performance that he gave.
And I can get that, yeah.
So I just don't know that the argument would hold that our actor colleagues in film and TV
sure.
would be on the same page with us as, because like I think that most people would be like, well, of course, if you're in your home, one, I totally agree. It's obvious that in your own home, you're not being a distraction to anyone.
Yeah.
Of course.
And I will caveat to like, if you're on your phone, because I have a specific person I'm thinking of in mind, but I know several people. I do think if you're going to be on your phone and watch a TV show or a movie, then you do sort of waive the right to then complain that you didn't get it.
Oh, sure.
That you thought it was confusing. Because I've known people who will be sitting there on their phone the whole time. And they're like, I just didn't get, they didn't make sense. And I want to be like, well, you only paid like 50% attention, because there are some TV shows and movies that like you really have to be totally in watching it to mm-hmm. catch everything. Mm-hmm. So like, I just,
okay,
you know, but so I'm not as opposed.
Let me oppose an either or to you.
Okay.
Would you rather have an audience member in the seat, not with their phone in their hand,
mm-hmm.
who now has super phone withdrawal anxiety and is fidgeting and is nervous and is anxiety ridden, or would you rather them with their phone completely dim, not bothering anyone, but scrolling, but have a butt in the seat?
It's funny. I have a variety of opinions on this. As a performer, I want them in the seat because I want seats sold.
I agree with that 100%.
As an audience member, if you're not bothering me, I'm a little like, eh. Well, no, I guess it's just two real perspectives. As an audience member, I'm kind of like, dude. As a comment on society, I guess maybe this is the unpopular opinion from my side of it, is I think you got some problems if you can't step away from your phone for an hour. To be honest, like, addiction takes many forms. Dependence on things, maybe not even addiction, because that's got a huge connotation, but dependence takes a lot of different forms, and I think being that dependent on anything is probably unwise. Now, again, from the audience and from that perspective, like, you do you, man. If you are not bothering me and impeding on my experience, live your best life. You do what you gotta do, but
perhaps we should create a section of audience. A section of tickets, like a smoking section in a restaurant, used to be for those
that want to be on
Their phones.
Oh, I would live for that, especially like
during a performance.
Especially so in
like
our,
that's a thing we could do
in our hall. That would be difficult because yes. The seats are all together. But I'm thinking like lots of places.
Valley Mara would be no problem.
You
at
just
all.
Literally like yeah, if you buy like a Ride Orchestra seat, then you could be on your phone.
Right.
You can be on your phone.
Right.
Oh my gosh, the last time I was at Talia Mara, I didn't realize how much this gets under my skin, but it really, really does. I was so upset. It was when I went to tell My Fair Lady. I got so mad because 15, 20 minutes into the show, I guess kind of when the first number ended, they let all the late people come. Well, first off, I have never seen so many people late to a show, I feel like. And then these people come in, because the show is still going. It's not like it's this huge break. These people come in and turn their flashlights on.
Again, see that.
I was so angry. And they're talking.
Yeah, and
they're
again,
talking.
That. Again, that. I'm with you on that.
Wanted
kind of stuff.
To. Ooh, I was so mad. Because again, like, you know, it's my first time out. That would always make me mad, but it's my first time out since having a baby. I'm seeing a friend in this show.
Mm-hmm.
All these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, are you kidding me? You could. Like, I get that sometimes you run late, but that it gets to me.
One of the reasons I think I have a differing opinion than I think the majority on this issue is that, you know, having a loved one with an ongoing medical issue that I track on my phone.
Yeah.
I need to have the ability to check my device. And not having that ability makes me exceptionally anxious.
Okay.
And so I understand people who not having access to their phone now makes them exceptionally anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems that we have, if you look at the data,
mm-hmm.
let's look at ticket sales and let's look at classical music ticket sales.
Yeah.
The data suggests that we have become much better about getting first-time audience members,
mm-hmm.
and that our retention numbers are awful.
Hmm.
And so we are creating an environment in the classical musical industry, mm-hmm. in live performance, where we are doing something, and I think it's multiple things,
yeah,
where we are not getting returning customers. And as the executive director of an opera company, I don't give a crap what I need to do. I want tickets sold.
Yeah, well, and that is totally a thing.
And as a performer, this is me.
Yeah.
I would rather somebody in their seat, in the house, filling a chair, and quite frankly, if they only put their head up all of a sudden when I sing a high note, when I sing a really interesting phrase,
yeah.
when I do something that's actually interesting, I am perfectly fine with that because I appreciate the time in our busy lives that mm-hmm. they have now taken out of their life to come to the theater, find parking,
yeah.
potentially pay for a ticket,
yeah.
be in the room, hire a babysitter,
yeah.
Not being able to be doing whatever they would have been doing. It is not 1874 anymore,
yeah.
when people had nothing to do.
Hence, you're right.
Hence, Wagner operas
These
were
long
a thing.
Operas.
And so, like, I am just so particularly mm-hmm. of other artists who
yes.
come.
Yes. Yes.
Who are also living busy lives.
Yeah.
And so, to go back to my point about the first time attendee thing.
Yeah.
And maybe we need a section of seats in venues where maybe that's a real thing.
I think there are other things we can do too to minimize perhaps the effect on others. For example, like, and it would depend on the show. Like,
sure.
Like, it would depend on exactly what you're doing, but when we have recitals here and the lights, when we don't dim them as much, when we don't go totally dark, when there's a little more just ambient lighting and it's a little more, I think it just feels more informal and a little more.
You wouldn't notice it as much.
You don't notice it as much. Like, that doesn't bother me as much when it's like that because it's not as distracting. It is not this, you know, dark room with a bright light. And again, so like there are obviously times, there are certain musical settings where you would not want the lights up because it would make it hard
yeah,
to see what's on stage.
Of course.
But in recitals, that's not so bad.
Let me go back to the ticket sale thing just for a second. I know that the number one reason that the data suggests that we don't get second time returners is that it's the same thing that churches face right now.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you get a butt in the seat, what is the very first thing we're asking them to do? Become a subscriber.
Oh.
Become a donor.
It's such a put off.
And it's the same thing. Churches do this too. As soon as
yeah.
you get your butt in the seat at a church, they're asking you to tithe and they're asking you to serve.
Or fill out. I hate when I go to something for a first time and you ask me to either fill out a card
or give them all your life information. Yep.
And I'm like, I don't know that I want you
yeah.
calling me, emailing me. Any of that, like,
right.
we don't know each other that well. And I don't know that I like you.
And so I that's also something that we need to do better about. But I think my point is, as arts organizations,
mm-hmm.
anything that we can be doing
mm-hmm.
to attract audiences and make performances more audience friendly and accessible,
yeah,
I think is something that we must have in our vision. Like, we cannot, I don't think, from a practical level, just like reject someone who's willing to come and pay the same ticket price that you did.
Sure.
And want to sit there on their phone the whole time.
Sure.
Like, as if they were watching a TV show. And I do understand that watching a live performance is different than watching a movie or a television show.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm not arguing that they are the same. But as someone who runs an opera company, I need every freaking seat sold, and I don't care what you are doing, as long as you are not making a huge distraction to other attendees
around you.
You know, so again, phones not on silent, not cool. People talking, not cool.
Yeah.
Loud noises, not cool. Bright screens, not
no
cool.
Thanks. Yeah.
Like all of these things, not cool.
Yeah.
But as someone who will often look at his phone to check his son's blood sugar.
Sure.
I'm also willing to just generally, I think at this point, give audience goers grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do not know why they're looking at their phone.
Well, and you and probably other people like that are the type of people, though, that are trying to be discreet, be whatever.
I'm definitely trying to be
when
discreet.
When you first asked, you said someone scrolling on social media.
I know.
Like.
And because phone addiction is real.
And I guess if you're bright, if you are trying to be discreet, then okay, that's fine.
And I personally, and I'm speaking as a performer here.
Yeah.
I would rather that individual be calm.
Sure.
Than potentially uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And being forced to battle their personal battle in that moment,
mm-hmm.
I would rather them be personally comfortable and in the room for my performance than not.
And this, again, like, as I said, like, I think for, as a performer, I have a slightly different opinion than I do as a person in the audience, which I guess makes the argument, like, you're saying, you know, we can't afford to alienate a certain demographic. A certain crowd, a certain people coming
right.
in. The flip side, and I think thing that then needs to be considered is you can't afford to alienate people. So you can't afford to upset, to ruin, I'll put that in quotation marks, the experience of your traditional go-to audience.
Correct.
So I do think it's then on you to do what you can to make this new person, yeah, mitigate. Maybe have, say, like, hey, this is our phone section. If you are going to be on your phone, buy a ticket in this section. If we see you on your phone not in this section, then we're probably going to ask you to
step out or put your phone
or move
your
to the
away.
Section or something like that. If
right.
we have space seats, yeah.
It's an interesting cultural thing. I think just
more is something.
And I'm not suggesting that either of the sides of this are right.
No, I think, like, it's kind of on you to also be upfront with your audience. Is this a performance where you don't want any phones at all? Are you going to be really strict on that? Maybe, like, tell them from the get-go. Or
sure.
Or are you sort of like, hey, this is a phone-friendly
that's
thing.
A,
like,
that's another thing.
Enjoy. Do what you need to do. Is it, or be upfront with them, like, hey, we can't have you on your phones because of copyright issues and, like, our ability to license future shows could get taken away, and we just have no way of knowing in the moment.
Agree.
Yeah, like,
completely
if you're...
Completely agree.
So, because, I mean,
we don't know if you're filming.
If we don't know if you're filming, we have no way to know. So, in the moment, just know we're going to have to assume.
And I completely agree with that.
So, I think, like, you know, maybe... Give some explanation. Don't just say, because I think the sign that's just up when you walk in, like, you see stories on the internet all the time, like, people just aren't reading
signs. I think it would also need an audio announcement.
Yeah.
Like a curtain speech kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or just a audience announcement about it.
Yeah.
There's
so much nuance.
Yeah.
I'm a big person. Things are shades of gray. Very few things in life are black or white.
I agree completely. You know, one of the things that I relate this to, though, like from the audience accessibility and friendliness perspective,
mm-hmm.
I remember my acting teacher in grad school, he said that one of the things that pissed him off more than anything else
mm-hmm.
was classical singers who, if their audience clapped mid-set, did not acknowledge in any way, shape, or form that their audience applauded.
Oh.
He said, that is so rude.
Yeah, yeah.
You are alienating your audience so badly. He said, you don't need to formally bow, but smile and nod.
Well, especially more and more, like, unless you are
cultured to
that. Unless, like, because I didn't know until I came to my undergrad, and pretty early on someone said, like, oh, you don't clap in between. Like, I didn't know.
Right, I didn't know that.
I just thought I was being nice. Clap after everything.
Correct. And so do most families that come to recitals.
Yes, and so, like, okay.
And so, like, his point just to us as performers was, he's like, just please nod and smile.
Just a nod.
You don't have to stop.
You don't have to bow.
And bow and whatever.
But just something.
Nod and smile. And he was actually adamant about not doing announcements.
Yeah.
To not do that.
Yeah.
Before performances. He was also adamant, actually, about not doing announcements to silent cell phones.
Interesting.
As well, because again, he felt, and he was a producer, director, arts administrator, and actor, and whatever. He felt it. This was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He felt it alienated audiences.
It's a tricky thing. And I mean, maybe it's because I love. I don't know if you've seen that Old Town. So, where we live currently, they do movie showings on the brick streets on Friday nights, and they've started doing sensory friendly showings as well. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, I have not. No.
Yeah, they've started doing sensory friendly showings where they, I don't remember. I haven't looked closely enough to see if they're simultaneous, but they're showing the same movie, but in a different, just like right down the road, so that you could have even gone and done the food stuff, but they show them in the train depot where it's, they do the volume quieter, like they do things, and it's meant to be somewhere that if you had someone with were very sensitive to sensory stimulation, that you could take them there. And then, of course, there's also little rooms that if they got overstimulated, you could take them into to just be more friendly. And I love that. So, like, who knows? Maybe 5 years from now, we'll be like, oh, yeah, this is our phone-friendly showing of this show or something. Or, like, or whatever. Like, if it became, I don't know if it ever becomes something quite like that. But,
well, and listen, and I'm perfectly fine for people to absolutely think that I'm an idiot here. Like, I have no thing of, like, I'm right about this and blah, blah, blah. I don't care enough to have that strong of an opinion about this.
It would be an interesting thing. Like, that would be quite the hill to die on.
No, and I'm not. It's not one I'm willing to die on at all.
Yeah.
But I also am just, I guess, I've changed. I am willing to give people more grace with this.
Mm-hmm.
Than I think I was before the pandemic. And I don't know why I'm just pointing to the pandemic as an inflection point.
Well, for you, that is when
But my son was also diagnosed with diabetes a month before the pandemic, and maybe that's why I'm...
That's, I think, more it probably than, like, specifically the pandemic.
You're probably right.
But that's also more so much that... Because I could be like, yeah, I'm more nervous about cars post-pandemic. Well, a few months before the pandemic, I watched someone get hit by a car.
Yeah, sure.
So
that wasn't the pandemic. That was...
It was not that long before, though.
No. I mean, but the pandemic didn't cause that.
No, it didn't. It didn't cause that. Like, there's several things I could be like, oh, yeah, I have this thing since... And, like, those were just things that happened in my life. But I do like that. I do also find myself using that as, like, to give you a time indication. Like, a lot of times I won't be like, oh yeah, 2020 or whatever. I'll just be like, yeah, pre-pandemic, I blah blah blah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just an interesting thing to consider, because I want butts in seats.
Yeah.
Like, I really want butts in seats.
I do. Same.
And our professional organizations need butts in seats to survive.
Very, very much so.
And I don't want to alienate audience members. I don't want to alienate audience members who want everything dark and quiet and, you know, like
yourself.
Who want
to be totally...
distraction-free.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to alienate audience members who are not any more comfortable in that environment.
Yeah.
And...
Well, and it's funny because, I mean, granted, not that I speak for everybody who don't, like, whatever. But it's not even so much that I need it to be dark. Like, again, if you have the lights up a little bit from the beginning... I don't really bother me. Depending, like, on the setting, like, the setting doesn't super bother me, but, like, I don't want to be distracted. I don't want my experience, my live musical art, whatever theater experience, to be ruined by you. I have the same thing in movie theaters. I get really annoyed by people on their phones in movies.
I was going to ask that, actually.
Yes, yes, yes. I have paid money and made the effort to come and see this movie in a theater. Do you know why? Because I want the big screen. I want the sounds. I want to, like, have that whole experience. What I don't care about is the weather forecast you're checking. I don't care what you think about that actor. I don't want to hear you talking about it. I don't want to hear you discussing if you want more popcorn. If you want more popcorn, go buy the popcorn.
At the same time, they paid the exact same ticket price that you did.
Yeah, that does not give them the right to ruin my experience.
It's just an interesting question.
I don't think that you're 50. If you,
so
if you,
what about someone?
If you want to buy my movie ticket, then you can ruin my experience.
What about someone getting up and going to the bathroom?
No, that's what everybody got to pee. That's what I'm saying. If you want more popcorn, go buy more popcorn. Don't have a whole conversation about it.
So it's not just, so someone gets up, walks past you to get more popcorn.
Look, I've accepted in my life, friends, I'm very short. I have accepted that my sight line is going to be blocked a lot. When I go to Broadway shows, when I go to any theater show, really, I've just sort of accepted there is a 95% chance that there's a chunk of the stage I can't see because people are taller than me.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, walk in front of me to go to the bathroom. Whatever. Don't just stand in front, because that's another thing.
Oh, people, sure.
Don't just
sure,
stand
sure.
in front of me well, and do
just,
whatever.
Again, that's just, again.
If you're late to the movie.
And that's super rude.
Yeah. Don't just say, like, common courtesy.
And the talking out
loud thing. I
think
that's my thing. Is
super rude.
It's common courtesy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's being respectful of those around you and being aware that it's sort of the, I mean, this is a real.
Which as society continues to degrade, we're seeing less of and
well,
less
that's
of
what
and
I was
less
saying, like,
of.
It's a big stretch, but there's maybe the comparison. Like, my general statement is your rights end where someone else's begin.
Mm-hmm.
That's your experience and your right to whatever in these settings kind of ends where somebody else's picks up.
Yeah.
You don't get to. It's the complaints about, like, man spreading.
Yeah.
I get that you
Which has been outlawed in some countries.
I love that. I love that for
them. Like, actual civil ordinances against
it. I get that you might be more comfortable with your legs widely spread apart. But, like, the person sitting next to you probably doesn't want your leg. Maybe they don't want to sit. I've had to sit before with my legs crossed as tightly as possible because I don't really want my leg on top of yours. And to be honest, like, I, again, as a small female, I'm getting into a whole thing here, as a very small female or just as a person in general, maybe I'd feel this way regardless. I'm not the type of person that's going to aggressively shove my leg into your leg to make space.
It's interesting on that particular issue. I guess I just have a little bit of a different, I totally understand what you're saying, but as a formerly extremely obese person, I had a difficult time not doing that.
And that's the thing, we're like, if you have to take up, if you've got to take up the space, you got to take up, like, that's one thing. It's, again, I'm all about nuance. I'm not gonna fall, and that's part of why too, I'm not gonna sit there and shove my leg into you because there might be a reason that you need to sit like that. But if you are somebody who pretty obviously, again, part of why I don't, you're just doing it because you're comfier that way.
Sure.
And there are, I know people who make the argument that they can't, like, well, I could make a comment there, but I don't know if it's not family friendly.
But like, I physically was not able to cross my legs, for example.
Sure. And again, that's why I'm
because
saying, like,
of my weight.
There are times and place, like, that's why part of why I don't make a thing about it. And I try to be somewhat understanding if you, cause sometimes you can tell, like, okay, this is what it is, whatever. But there are other times where you're like, unless there's something going on there that I don't know about.
Yeah, sure.
Which is,
again, though, but I guess it kind of even relates to the phone thing again. We don't necessarily, if they're being quiet and the screen is dim and there's no noise happening, we don't know.
And that's why I'm saying, like, I'm not gonna make a huge fuss about that because I don't know. That is common courtesy. That is me being respectful that I don't know your life or your situation.
Right, yeah.
So I'm not gonna throw a fit. The only thing I might do, even in there, is if your brightness is all the way up, I may not even, like, if your brightness is all the way up and you're texting, I'm probably not gonna be like, hey, don't text. I'm gonna be like, could you turn your brightness down?
Which I get that. And let me tell you actually why I get that one.
Yeah.
The brightness thing. My eyes are actually hypersensitive to light.
And I think it's a little, like, yeah.
And, like, from that perspective, like bright lights in dark spaces actually
it irritates.
They hurt my eyes.
Yes.
And so like I am very conscious of that that issue.
I think it's just I think we could all do to just
maybe have some common
be
courtesy
considerate.
And decency and
yeah, just be civil. Like again, like I said, I'm not gonna sit there and be like, hey, get off your phone. Like no, I'm gonna be like at most I'm gonna be like, hey, could you turn your brightness down? I'm trying to watch because you put bright. Or if somebody, because this is another, again, I'm a short person, and while I'm not going to fault you for your height, I am going to fault you if you're holding your phone up and you're blocking my view.
Yeah.
Which again, it's a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
But, and even then, I really would think about it beforehand.
It's an interesting thing to think about too from like an audience education perspective, because obviously as we've said, like, and we know, like, if we're at a rock concert, it's obviously perfectly fine to have your phone out taking pictures.
Sure.
You know.
And I think that's different, too, like, because a lot of times in those settings, like, everybody's standing.
Right.
Everybody's.
Sure.
The lights, it's bright. Like,
yeah,
it is
much more,
just different.
It's much more common for everybody to be standing.
Should we make operas like a rock concert?
And making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, well, I guess you couldn't really make an opera like a rock concert because it's not amplified.
Well, but
should we be making musicals like a rock concert?
There are amplified operas. I mean, I remember us doing the world premiere of Eric Whitaker's Paradise Lost, which is set to an EDM track.
I got, like, weirdly into that opera when I was in high school.
You know, and so there, that is amplified.
Yeah.
Our musicals are amplified.
Yes.
But again, the thing with the musicals goes back to the licensing.
So the licensing
issue.
Is.
So I guess maybe the landing point here is, in a way, all of this requires a certain degree of nuance.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that a fair like kind of
maybe
landing
don't go
point?
Into every concert and be like, get out of here to any phone you see. But
and just maybe one, be kind and courteous to those around you.
Yeah.
There's a good
just
starting point,
consider,
right?
Consider.
Be, I guess, mindful of those around you.
Sure.
Maybe don't be super quick to judge if someone is sitting quietly and dimly.
Sure.
Doing what they're doing.
Sure.
And, you know, consider your surroundings and also let's be welcoming to those people who we do need to sell tickets to.
Yeah, because we do need to sell tickets.
I mean, even movie theaters.
Butts in seats.
Even movie theaters. I mean, the film industry, since the pandemic, still not doing as well as it was in 2019.
No, not as much as they would like. No.
It ain't the as struggle of buses
well,
as much as the orchestra
even,
and opera industry
and
in this country.
And it's interesting with movie theaters moving to the seats, like the way a lot of them are, where the if you're on your phone in the row in front of me, like you really can't tell anymore because of the way a lot of the seating is. Now if you're on the same row as me, then
it's that thing goes up full blast. Like it's hard to like not
have
your vision.
Now sometimes
I agree. It's hard to
sometimes
not.
In that case it's someone who's with you and you can be like, get off your phone.
Of course. I mean listen, if it's someone in your party and like your family, your whatever, that's a different thing.
That's a different thing. You probably know exactly why
they
are.
You have your own family dynamics as however you want to have
your... We're not going to step into that.
Or your best friend dynamics. That's your business,
not
ours.
Life.
I don't care.
But, no, there's a lot of nuance to it. There is.
I think in the end, there's like so many things, even with singing, there's a lot of nuance to them. And... It, you know, for example, like one of the singing things, I recently saw a big discussion and I had seen Carrie Obert reshare her article about like jaw position and some other comments about jaw position. And it's wild to me that somehow in the singing world, we're still sort of willing to take these stances like, no, the jaw must be tucked and under.
All the time.
The jaw must be down and dropped. No, the jaw must be forward and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like,
things in life are just absolute black and white.
Are we all singing the same vowel in the same pitch in the same style?
I'm not even willing to say that, you know, nothing is black and white because... There are some things out there that are pretty cut and dry, but not a lot, not everything.
Is it raining? Is it not raining?
Yeah.
There's one.
Murder, generally,
bad.
By and large, bad. Bad.
Bad.
Bad. bad.
I think we can, and if you disagree with us on that,
probably don't say it out loud.
Or think it out loud. I mean, there might even be people you're very mad at.
Well, so I literally, as I was saying that, thought of a few things where I could hear somebody being like, well, devil's advocate, what if the person you just murdered is
Hitler.
A baby killer, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, Hitler. Rabbit hole. Yeah, like that's whatever. But by and large, you can generally say murder
pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
I'm glad we landed here.
Oh, this is a good. What a place to be.
Okay.
Happy Friday.
We were going to talk about treble middle voice today.
I'm ready for that whenever we do it.
So 2 weeks?
Let me look.
2 weeks,
I mean, admittedly,
maybe?
Once the school year ends, we don't have to record on Fridays.
That's true. But next week, we're a little bit booked up trying to finish out the school
year.
Yeah,
May 3rd is a good time.
So let's say 2 weeks, we'll actually do this another middle voice episode.
I'm very excited for that, because that's the thing. Like, treble middle voice is something I spend a lot of time thinking about.
We already did a whole episode dedicated to it.
I know, but I've thought about it even more, and my feelings on it, and I guess partially because I've taught a lot more since we made that. Because when we made that episode, I think I was still in my master's, I think.
So
it's been a while.
So 2 weeks we'll do that.
Yeah, I have strong feelings, or not strong.
So next week, no episode.
No, next week.
2 weeks
we'll
revisit treble middle singing.
And then of course we'll have to at some point talk about the new season of Doctor Who.
So May 10.
I will be out of town.
Oh, okay, great.
But I could probably do either earlier in the week or early the next week or something.
I think it would be lovely if we took a podcast episode to help you prepare to teach ped next year.
Yeah, guys, I get to teach pedagogy. I'm very excited.
Sarah's going to teach 4 of my 6 pedagogy courses next year.
Yeah.
And
I'm pumped.
And
I gotta spend the summer figuring out what do I want that to look like.
So I think it would be good if we took an episode, and that'd be a lovely episode.
Yeah. So it's your first time teaching vocal pedagogy.
Yeah. So 2 weeks we'll do some middle voicey stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably release an episode in 3 weeks as well.
Sure.
Talking about you teaching ped for the first time.
Woo woo! I'm pumped. I'm ready.
And then
world.
And that'll probably be like the official end of the season.
Yeah, knowing us, you'll get something over the summer.
Probably
something Doctor Who related.
We'll probably do a Doctor Who wrap up. When does Deadpool and Wolverine drop? And are you gonna come and see Deadpool and Wolverine?
I don't know. I'm tempted to. Let me see when it drops. At some point, need to see Dune. Did you ever see Dune?
I did not. Yeah. I don't have any time.
Well, sometimes.
Let alone 3 hours, 4 hours if we include the trip to the theater and back.
Well, you could have come and seen it on my birthday if you weren't trying to move. Well, I mean, not that it's on my birthday. It's July 26th, but it's a few days after.
That's right. It's after.
Yeah. But then someone's all like, I have to go to Colorado.
Yeah, we will be in Colorado
Boo.
By that point. So whenever I can get to see that. That may have to be
that
like
may be early August
the season 8
opener
kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's your plan.
Anyway,
up ahead, vocal fam. Those
we're,
are your.
We're doing. We're getting by. We're all making things
right
when we can.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Little protein things, and then I found this new kind of sausage. If any of y'all out there are Sister Schubert fans, Sister Schubert rolls. They used to make these little sausage rolls. Oh boy, have you been missing out? Well, now you couldn't even eat it, but before that you were missing. You probably have had them and didn't even realize it because they make the yeast rolls that a lot of restaurants serve. Anyway, they used to make these sausage rolls that were really good, but then
they come in a little tin.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Then they changed the way they make them, and now they're more like sausage pinwheels, which I do like, but I miss the other. Found this other brand that's kind of local that does sausage rolls using, have you ever tried the Conica sausage? It's kind of...
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, they do
Isn't
that.
Isn't it called Conicue?
I don't know. I'm just living. This is not one where I tried to pronounce it this way. Other people in my life have pronounced it that way, and I'm just going off of them.
I think that there's actually a pronunciation above the word on the packaging.
I didn't read that.
Because I think the Cajun pronunciation, it's a Cajun company.
Yeah.
And I think their pronunciation of it is Conicue.
Well, I have never bought the actual sausage myself, so I haven't read it. And then these are just sausage rolls that use it. In their sausage rolls.
I'm sure that our mutual friend Doovie could
would probably tell me.
Tell us what the appropriate Cajun pronunciation is.
Long story short, my mother
used in a lot of crawfish boils, Bogle fam.
It's good. It's good sausage. They make a lot of different kinds. I had that this morning. Jamie's in Seattle this week. Left me on my own with the baby, even while he's still not wanting to sleep.
What a jerk.
I know. Work things. Well, so my mom's down here, so I tried to have some things to have for breakfast while she was here that weren't little protein bars because...
I would also like to revisit one thing about breakfast.
Okay.
When we did the episode with Diana and Alexis about the national conference...
Yes.
I did not ask you what you had for breakfast that day.
That's tragic.
Is there any chance you remember?
I mean, it was probably the same. Okay, I'm going to out myself. I've been referring to them as protein bars. And they are. That's what they say on the package. Yeah. But I'll give you a little extra cookies. Detail about them. They're not cookies. There's no flour in them.
Like the
they
kind
are
bars?
The kind breakfast protein bars.
Sure.
And these are the chocolate ones. There's some almond butter in there, too.
But they like list all their ingredients like on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But these aren't like the kind bars, like normal kind bars, because I don't actually like those.
Oh, okay.
These are like a more like, it's like their breakfast protein one, and it is more, like, I don't know if you ever had those cookies where they're the like no-bake chocolate peanut butter cookies that are made with oats.
Sure, yeah.
It's reminiscent
of that. Yeah, yeah, sure.
But, yeah, but a little more breakfast-oriented. So, like, is it cookie adjacent? Do I need most things in my life to be cookie adjacent? Yes.
I mean, I've seen you eat steak, which is not cookie
adjacent. I eat things that aren't guys. Like, guys. I'm getting much better at eating food.
Eat a chicken breast.
But, like, my issue with breakfast foods has always been, and this is why my breakfast food event, like, I have to eat breakfast pretty much immediately on getting up or I get, like, ill. I have to eat something or I get, like, faint and sick feeling. However, like many people, upon initially waking up, my appetite is, like... like, there's not a whole lot of things that sound appetizing. An hour or two after getting up, I'm like, yeah, give me normal breakfast foods. But when I first get up, there's not a lot that really sounds good. Cookies always sound good.
Sure. Sure. As they would.
Cookies are good, guys.
All right, Vogel fam. Anyway. So that's, I just, the completionist in me.
Needed
you to report.
Well, it was that. I can tell you that. But I can also give you a little confession that... It's cookie adjacent.
All right. Well, we are.
But it says protein on the package.
We are two episodes away from finishing season 7.
What a season, friends.
What a weird season it's been.
Hey, but we're still here. We're still standing.
Wrapping it up.
This too shall pass. That runs through my head a lot these days.
I'd like to recommend to those of you out there, if you have the opportunity to run an opera company, don't. Seems like a great idea. I'd recommend
you're
against
not,
it.
You're not having fun?
Fun is... There are words that I'd use. Fun is...
Fun's not at the top of the list?
Not at the top of the list.
Peculiar.
Peculiar. Peculiar and peculiar. Curiouser and curiouser.
Curiouser and
All right, Vogel fam, that is it for us. And one random pop culture thing that has Perna excited for some time in the future.
Okay.
I did see that they are finally going to actually do the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover. and 5-year-old, 4-year-old me is very excited. Okay? So like 4-year-old me, very excited.
My small little pop culture things is one, Henry doesn't care so much about Bluey. Jamie and I...
My children, teenagers, yeah, love Bluey.
Jamie and I have actually been loving Bluey.
My
we put
gosh.
It on. Henry's ambivalent about it, but Henry and I... Or not Henry. Jamie and I enjoy it, and so we've put it on a few times. Like, no, this is for Henry. It's actually a real blast. What Henry loves, and I know this is no surprise to anybody with children out there, is Ms. Rachel. My gosh.
I don't even know what that is, but...
It's just this woman. She makes her videos on YouTube, and they're very, like, educational for, like, little kids. Like, she... has something rooted in like speech development for children or whatever, so they're very targeted towards that sort of thing. Like she does like the one teaches them sign language alongside words, but also like these motions to help them say things to like understand what they need to do with their mouth and whatnot. In addition to just other things that she's teaching, it's like crack for him.
Wow.
She comes on and he lights up.
It is always funny like what they end up like navigating towards as the little ones.
Yeah. Well, and apparently she is across the board for babies. Rachel.
At the thing that Charlie did for Charlie at that age was Little Einsteins.
I loved Little Einsteins.
And from the get-go, uh-huh. I mean from, was Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I mean, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse from moment one.
That does not surprise me about your son at all.
Oh my gosh.
We have not put that on for Henry yet. We've, he's watched some Little Bear like that. Because, you know, we've been trying to do the low stimulation thing.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever. And Little Bear, that was something I watched as a kid and enjoyed, and Winnie the Pooh. Little Bear has been a hoot for me because some of these logic jumps in it are just out there. But anyway.
Olivia was more, she was the, what was the princess one?
Sophia
the First.
See, that one I knew because I watched your daughter when she was into Sophia the First.
Sophia the First, yes. That was her. And then Elena of Avalor, both.
I never watched Elena of Avalor, but it looked cool. I was obviously a little older than that would have been, but
they were. Yes, and I'm outing ourselves as a Disney family. Feel free to judge me.
Shocking.
I don't care.
Shocking. I'm sure nobody had guessed.
It's fine. You can judge me. I don't care.
I don't care.
Anyway. All right.
Anyway.
That's it for us. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Good run. Woo.